Ducks fans, are you ready? You are listening to the Ducks and Pucks podcast. This is the number one home for Anaheim Ducks talk and analysis. Here we go.
Welcome to the show. This is your host, Mike Walters, along with my co-host, Eddie Richard, and we have plenty to talk about this last week in Ducks action. The Ducks were able to win a couple games against the Sharks, and then they dropped a couple games against Vancouver and Florida, so we're going to cover all of those. We have plenty of more stats to get to. We have some ideas of how the Ducks can play better or do a few things to improve, possibly that we'll talk about. Some more trade rumors have come up. We'll also talk about some more jersey news, and we have a little bit of more league news to cover this time around, but... Eddie, how you doing? I know you were feeling a little bit under the weather. How you doing on election night, I guess, on 2022?
Oh, election. I didn't even know it was election night. I thought the only election I was cared about was the black or orange pants, which we'll talk about later. But yeah, I'm under the weather right now, so I'm not enjoying a beverage, only my Gatorade right here in front of me. But you know what? A lot is going on with the Ducks right now, and you guys prefer and like when we do shows consistently. So whether I'm sick or not, the show must go on, so I'm just glad to be here talking. So just if I'm really just kind of sound plain this week and just kind of out of it, just give me a little break right now because I'm really feeling under the weather. But I'm happy to be here to bring you the coverage, and like I said, the show must go on.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you're able to power through, my man. I am disappointed, though, because I am drinking by myself right now. That is sad. No, my other half's here, but you know, as far as the show, I'm drinking by myself. But yeah, anyways, a lot of stuff going on with this team in the last week. We'll cover the games to start off here in the regular order. Stuff about the team as well. So some interesting things that we want to talk about. Some trade news that kind of surfaced recently. And as Eddie mentioned, we brought back our podcast poll question talking about the reverse retro jerseys, which got debuted this last week. So we will get to that as well. So let's dive into this last week. The Ducks won two games. They lost two games. They ended up beating the San Jose Sharks in a shootout twice this last week. In the first game, we saw Stolarz in net, and they ended up actually playing this game pretty well. You know, you had Henrique scoring early in this one, twice in the first period. Carlson twice also in the first period for San Jose. A real back-and-forth game that, you know, it ended up needing overtime and it ended up needing a shootout as well. Carlson ended up getting a hat-trick in this one. But the Ducks, you know, they ended up going to overtime. The shootout, they won this game. poor Silverberg scores on ourselves, you know, on the own team goal, which kind of sucked. But despite that, they were able to overcome that and the Carlson hat trick and win this game, Eddie, 6-5 in the shootout.
Yeah, doesn't that explain? Isn't that kind of the best thing, or I guess define the Ducks season is getting a goal, their own goal scored against them. That was just by their own player. That man, that just sucks. But yeah, it was good the Ducks went ahead and beat the Sharks. Yeah, we all hate the Sharks too, so like no matter how bad the Ducks are doing, it's always good to get a win from our other rivals in the other part of California that everyone forgets about. And to shut down and stop Carlson, no, not really stop him, but to kind of overcome that. He's been hot this season, has 19 points already in 14 games. He's just exploding, but finally they're getting the production out of him that they didn't. They signed him to that huge contract, but still, he has a lot more to do to kind of get this team where they need to be. But I see the Sharks being contenders anytime soon. But yeah, it's always good to get that win against San Jose.
You know, and I was impressed too with Zegras and Terry in the shootout. They made some nice moves to get the Ducks the extra point. And I crack up because the Ducks still don't have a regulation win. But it seems like when we go to shootout, we have great odds because you just throw Terry and Zegras out there and it's like they're almost like automatic. I mean, they're doing great stuff in the shootout. So, they're able to get that second point. Maybe they get the regulation point if Silverberg doesn't, you know, make that mistake. You know, he's trying to clear out the puck and accidentally did what he did. But I've been impressed by watching Terry Zegras. I mean, during the game as well, you know, they're leading the team in points, as we've talked about before, and they still are. But in the shootout, they look good. And then you've also got Boyu in there fighting Kunin. He actually got in fights in several of these games the last couple weeks. Maybe D'Lo 2.0. I don't know, Eddie. But what did you think about the shootout and Boyu?
Well, the fights. You know, it's funny. The Ducks are ranked number. I want to say. Let me see on HockeyFights.com. Boyu is actually number 2, tied with Delorier and Genot from Nashville. They each have 3 fights each this season. It's hard to believe that Delorier only has 3 fights, especially playing on a Phillies team with Torts. But who knows if he's fighting too much with Torts and not fighting with the other players. But it's good to see someone stepping up and being that physical force for the Ducks and letting other teams know that you can't come in our building, or you can't just push our players around. And Zegras is going to do Zegras. Just let him do it. The Ducks are actually ranked number 5 in the whole entire league with 6 fights, followed by the Kraken with 7, ranked 4. Nashville has 7 fights also. The Philadelphia Flyers have 8, and the Vancouver Canucks lead all hockey teams right now with 10 fights. So I guess fighting's up for hockey, and I'm glad the Ducks are kind of establishing that Dirty Ducks role a little bit.
Yeah, it seems like that came alive a little bit this week. Obviously playing division opponents like the Sharks twice. Of course, helps out and things like that. The Ducks were able to pull this one out, got a couple points. We felt good about this game. Like we said, it wasn't their best stuff, but you got scoring. You had Strome getting his second goal. Henrique finally getting on the board, getting 2 goals. Comtois getting his second of the season. So good stuff all around. You felt good. And then the Ducks played Vancouver. You had Gibson back in net. Boyu got another fight in this game, but this game was a crazy game. If you loved goals, this was the game for you, because there was 13 goals scored in this game between the Canucks and the Ducks. It started out kind of slow. You had Terry getting a goal on the power play, and it was 1-1 at the end of the first period, and then Vancouver started to come on the second period, and then the third period just went completely bananas. Just this craziness going on in this one. The Ducks were able to score on the power play, which is great, because they hadn't scored the power play since the beginning of the season. Fortunately, they also gave up some power play goals in this one. But a very interesting game. I thought the Ducks were in it until the third period, and then they kind of had some breakdowns in there, obviously, and they could not come back against Vancouver in the third. But going into it, they were okay. They were down 3-2, but then Vancouver busted out with a couple goals. I did like the fact that the Ducks did fight back, though. Comtois with a goal and Zegras with a power play goal, and that's kind of been the theme of this team lately. If you've noticed that, the comeback kids, the cardiac kids, those different names that everybody's given them, but they came up short in this one still, Eddie.
Yeah, but it's good that they went 2-for-3 on the power play, because against San Jose they were 0-4. Like you said, we haven't scored a power play goal since the opening night. So it was good to see, I guess, a couple goals come out of that power play right there. But yeah, for some reason I think a few seasons ago Vancouver kicked their ass this bad too. It was something similar like this, maybe like a 7-something game. But I still remember, and I still cringe and hate about the fact, when I first moved back here and got out of the military and came back to California, we were supposed to go to... No, actually, you know what? I lied. It was during one of my leaves. My buddy picked me up from the airport. We're all happy. Like, hey, I haven't seen my buddy in a couple years, so I was on leave from the Army. We had tickets to go to a Vancouver game. That was the game they won. I was like, say, 9-3 or something, Mike. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes.
Yeah, we had tickets to go to that game. So he's like, hey, let's just go and grab some food, grab a couple drinks, and we'll go. Well, we didn't just have a couple drinks. We started drinking at that place the whole entire night. So we ended up just watching the game there. And after I seen all those goal after goal after goal, I was like, oh, man, we should just win. I just wasted those tickets. I should have gave them away or something. Just bought the tickets and wasted my seats, and we didn't get to see that. But it sucks that we lost against Vancouver. They're one of the worst teams right now in the league, just play-wise. Nothing's went right for them. Apparently, this game did. And then the Ducks just made Spencer Martin look like a kind of a superstar on some of the saves. But I'm glad they were able to kind of rally back a little bit and didn't just go down without a fight. So that was good to see them kind of step up and not just roll over and show their bellies, but actually show some fight and show some teeth a little bit. Just unfortunately, the 8-5 win, it just didn't look good for the Ducks.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, against the Vancouver team that also has been struggling as well. And you know, we had some questionable calls too this week, and you all know what the Ducks, it seems like questionable calls and controversies follow this team every season. And in this one, the Canucks had scored and Akins had challenged on the play, and the Ducks lost. And of course, they go shorthanded, you know, for the delay game, and they give up another goal, which, you know, it was tough. But this one was an interesting one because I can't remember which player, but one of the players had made contact with Gibson's pad. And the issue was, you know, about goalie interference or whatnot. And if you look up the rule, it's 69.7. It talks about in a rebound situation or where a goalkeeper and attacking player are simultaneously attempting to play a loose puck, whether in or outside the crease, incidental contact with the goalkeeper will be permitted. And so the goal was allowed. And I just thought that it was interesting because it's like a subsection of that rule. If you look it up, NHL Rule 69, that talks about these different goalie interference situations. And we had Spinko1221 on Instagram asked about that too. Like, why is the goalie interference, you know, been called so inconsistently against the Ducks? I don't even know if it's just the Ducks. I think in general it's called inconsistently. So there's some subjectivity in that that play because you have the puck, you know, Gibson looks like he's going to cover it. Then it goes loose. The guy hits him. I don't know. I'm not really a big fan of that subsection, to be honest, Eddie. I don't really care if the puck's loose, the goalie's covering it up or whatever. He makes contact with Gibson in the crease. To me, the goal should be disallowed. I mean, you know, I get that that rule's on there and that's what they went by, but I think they need to chuck that rule into the trash. And I don't like it in general, and not just for the Ducks, but in the game of hockey. I mean, if a guy hits a goalie and there's a loose puck right in the front like that, and that causes that goalie to not be able to make that save or somehow messes up, you know, with him defending the goal, then no, it shouldn't be allowed. If it's incidental and it doesn't affect him making the save, I could maybe see that. But here he hits him in the leg and then shoots it in. I mean, it's still subjective, but I don't know. For some reason to me, they went by the rule. I get it. And, I don't think it would have really changed the outcome of the game. But I don't like it, Eddie. I don't know. It just doesn't sit well with me.
No, it doesn't. You're speaking about Vancouver's Jack Sednicka that was the one that spun Gibson around and ended up scoring on that loose puck right there. It's just so weird how you see some of these calls, you'll read them directly from the rule book, but then when you see them on the ice, they can go either way, and they have gone either way. It's just so the inconsistency from the league, from the referees, time and time after, every single season, it's just like not just because of for the Ducks, but like I said, every other team that just gets these bad calls, and you'll have one team get the call right, the other team, it's like totally different, and it's just... it's just the way they interpret the rules, I guess, or whoever they want to interpret. I just, like I said, I always said these referees need some kind of kick in the ass, some kind of training, or something to be more consistent, because it's not fair, especially when you're in the postseason and you make stupid questionable calls like this. You're just costing someone a chance to win. And yeah, in the postseason, it may not really matter in the regular season, but come postseason, a mistake like that can just change the game and can completely make another team do a 180 and end up coming out with the win when they shouldn't have. But like you said, it probably wouldn't have factored into this game, but just to see that consistent call would have been good.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I mean, either you change the rule or I mean, you go with a certain way to call it or not. I don't know. It's just frustrating. But I mean, it is what it is. The Ducks still did not play well enough to win this game. They ended up losing this one 8-5 to Vancouver. They did get the benefit of going back to San Jose the next game, and they ended up beating the Sharks in another shootout, this time 5-4. Grant was out in this game. The Ducks went with the 11-7 lineup, your favorite lineup that you want to see. We had Stolarz back in net. Boyu got in another fight. We had another controversial goal in this game, which we'll talk about in a minute. You had Leeson getting his first goal as a Duck. You know, this was a game that, I mean, the Ducks got outshot 52-25. They had no business winning this game or getting any points, and they actually were able to force overtime and then win in a shootout. They really got lucky in this one. I mean, Vancouver was, excuse me, the Sharks were up in this one, you know, 4-2. It looked like the Ducks were done. The Sharks had a power play, but McTavish gets out at the end, ends up scoring. Then you have Henrique scoring late. And then again, the Ducks doing magic in the shootout. This time it was Zegras and McTavish, and also Henrique. This one was a wild game. This one, I mean, there's no way the Ducks should have, you know, had a point or 2 points in this game. They were definitely more outplayed in this one against San Jose than the previous game. But, man, they're able to pull this one out, force overtime, and get 2 points in this one, Eddie.
Yeah, I guess if the Ducks want to just be able to make a playoff run and win, just force teams to a shootout and just have Zegras and Terry and the rest of the team do their thing, because that seems that the Ducks are going to win this season by getting all these shootout wins. We might break a franchise record with the most shootout wins this season. Who knows the way that things are going right now for the season. It's good to see Leason get his first as a Duck and McTavish get his first of the season as a Duck. I hope he starts heating up. I know they put him as a center in a few of the games, so hopefully he starts getting some more time. The Ducks aren't doing that well. We need him to kind of step up and kind of just see what he can do and get him comfortable playing in the NHL, and hopefully he just starts sparking up those goals, and he hopefully at least scores I think 15 goals would be good for him. It's his first like full season in NHL.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to talk about McTavish here in a little bit. Eddie and I have a 5-point plan that we're going to talk about, helping this team moving forward that we'll discuss. And McTavish is a large part of that plan. But yeah, you're right. It was great to see him score on that. He also scored in the shootout. The Ducks were able to pull this one off. The other controversial play in this one was the Sharks scored a goal. The Ducks challenged for offside, and the Sharks player was jumping into the bench. Both feet were off the ice before the puck came back into the zone. So the goal was upheld as being onside. I swear, this team gets like the most unique situations of these rule books. But they've talked about during, in the rule book about being on a delayed offside. When an attacking player in the zone goes to the bench, he's considered to have cleared the zone when both skates are off the ice and the linesman judges him to have left the playing surface. So again, a little subjectivity in here, but the player had jumped towards the door was open, feet were off the ice, both of them going towards the door. But the bigger issue on this one that a lot of people didn't talk about is where the doors to the benches are in the rinks. And this is kind of interesting because there's no uniformity in this. If you go to the Ducks games, and all of you know this, you look at the doors are in the neutral zone. San Jose, the doors are actually in each attacking zone. So I think that's an interesting thing that kind of, makes a torque in this rule, because maybe the player would have had to skate back to the blue line if it was at an arena like the Ducks, right? Or maybe he's trying to jump into the bench. I don't know. Maybe it would have been different. But this one, I thought the refs did get the right call. Based upon the rule, both feet were off the ice. He's jumping into the bench before the puck comes back in. But I just thought it's very interesting to me, Eddie, that the rinks are different in terms of where the doors to the benches are actually laid out.
Yeah, this should be more kind of uniformed on every rink. I know some rinks are going to be different, but I mean, the rink size obviously is not different. Just the way the position the benches are and how big they are and whatnot are different, but it should kind of be more uniform, so there's not going to be any issues and not going to be any controversies. And when things like this happens, like, you have one solid just universal call that's going to just apply to every team and from every rink.
Yeah, and like you talked about too, in this game the Ducks did come back obviously and were able to pull this one out. And then we saw this again, they came home, they hosted Florida, and they got down early by 2 goals. And then you had Lundstrom getting the Ducks back in action. And they fought back in this one, trying to get, some points at home or a regulation win. But they weren't able to do it. You had Montour coming back to take out the Ducks, unfortunately, in this game. But the Ducks fought back in the game against the Sharks. They won the shootout. They fought back in this game against Florida. They lost, but it was still, this team is not, given up, never say die and whatnot. in this one. And then they obviously they debuted the reverse retro jerseys. They lost, of course. But, you know, Grant was out again. They did go with the normal lineup, and Godden finally made his debut as a Duck. You know, they got outshot badly in this one, but I like the fact that they fought back. They made it 2-2 in the second period. Like I said, Lundstrom got a goal in the third to try to make it close and within a goal. So they fought back twice in this game, but they still came up short, Eddie.
Yeah, and the whole biggest controversy, too, besides the Ducks and the whole game, was something that a lot of people were discussing before the game, and I guess someone posted on social media about the reverse retro jersey. It sucks that we lost when they just kind of, I guess, wearing them, too, like, at first, but you know what, whatever. It is what it is this season. But the whole thing where everyone just kind of was blew up was this whole controversy, and since it's a... I guess election time, like I talked about earlier, the black versus the orange pants. But like I said, we'll go over that a little later. Lundstrom did have a nice little backhand penalty shot, so that was good to see. But we lost to another struggling team. Florida has been underachieving this season. They were out with their top player, Matthew Tkachuk, as he was suspended for I guess, high-sticking Jonathan Quick the game before. I think the Ducks could have had this win. The Spencer Knight, you can't count him out. He's a really good goalie, and they're holding on to him a lot because it's the way his play last season and the way he's starting off this season is backing up Bobrovsky. He can be a starter on a different team, or they can get in some games and they can just trade him, or if they want to eat some salary and trade Bobrovsky come the deadline or what they're going to do. But they can't keep both these kind of goalies. Like Spencer Knight's going to require a big raise, especially the way he played last season, the way he's playing this season. So you can't really fault the Ducks for this one. They just ran into a hot goalie and a team that just wanted to win more.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough. You know, this was another one where the Ducks gave up a lot of shots. They gave up 48 shots on net. They weren't as strong in the faceoff circle, and then, of course, giving up more power play goals. But like we talked about, the Ducks keep fighting back. You had Henrique and Strome getting goals in the second period within about 27 seconds to tie it up. Lundestrom on a penalty shot, even though the Ducks were shorthanded, he drew that and was able to score and, you know, make it a one-goal game with, you know, just over a minute to go. So, I mean, they still fought back, even though the... you know, you look at some of these stats, and they're really not fun ones to look at the way it's been going. But yeah, the Ducks ended up splitting these two games. Still no regulation win. They are the only team in the league right now not to have a regulation win, which is just insane to me. But we'll go into more of the stats here on the team and break down some stuff that Eddie and I think that, you know, maybe they can do to improve, because I know that's the concern amongst a lot of you is like, okay, what do we do to, you know, fix this team? But real quick, just to remind you, you know, we're part of the Old City Sports Network. One of our sponsors is Norse Beards. You can check them out for all your grooming needs. Go to norsebeards.com, enter the code OCS, all capital letters, and you can get a discount there. So if you're looking for a shaver, for any of your grooming needs, check them out at norsebeards.com. All right, so this team, they have actually improved. They've made some strides. If you look at their numbers and things in some areas, they have done better. You know, they're still towards the bottom, but hey, they're winning some games. Yes, it takes bonus hockey, but they've been improving. They're almost up to 30 shots a game, which is good. They're still giving up 40 shots against, which is not good. They're up to 2.85 goals per game and then 4.62 against. Their puck possession numbers have been better. They were in the 30s. They are now in the 40s. So in the Corsi 4, they're at almost 44%. Fenwick 4, almost 42%. They were able to score on the power play, so that they're at 11.4. And the penalty kills at 63.3. So made some strides here and there. You know, but obviously need help. We've talked about the penalty kill has been an issue. The power play, they weren't scoring, but then they were able to pull through with some lately. So, I mean, plenty of stuff for this team to work on. Some good things as well. So, Eddie and I talked about this a little bit. Some things we looked at, two of this team. If you look at the stats, you can see that Zegras and Terry are, you know, leading the way in terms of points, right? Terry's got 17 points. Zegras has 12. He leads the team with 7 goals. And we've got more balanced scoring finally, too. You have Strom with 4 goals, Henrique with 4 goals, Vetrano, Comtois, all with 4 goals, and then you have Silverberg with 3 goals. So more of that balanced scoring that we talked about we needed, that is there as well. So there are positives here. You know, people are sitting there going, oh, my God, you know, like, what do we do? We're, you know, this and that with, you know, the penalty kill, and we're giving up these shots and whatnot. But they've made some strides. I think the biggest thing is some of the lineup stuff, some tweaks that this team could do. If you look at the analytical numbers with Zegras and Terry, when they play together and separate, they're much better together. Their Corsi and Fenwick numbers are up together. Their expected goals is up as well, as opposed to when they're apart. So that's one thing that we look at. Another big part of this equation, Eddie talked about it earlier too, was Stolarz. You know, in this game, playing a couple of these times. I mean, he needs to get some more starts. He got in a few of these. We haven't played Gibson as much, and I think we need more of a balance there. So that's another thing to look at. And McTavish is another part of this too. I kind of had him in there as two different things, but playing him at center, the Ducks finally started doing that. I think they needed to continue that and also get him on the power play. And then the other part of this is taking less penalties. So those are some things there. I don't know which ones you want to hit on, Eddie, but there's a lot there that we've kind of talked about how to improve this team. And I think a lot of this is really just lineup stuff if you look at it.
Yeah, and then we look at Cam Fowler only has one assist throughout these games coming in here. Something has to happen with that. He has to step up. I think Gibson has more points this season than Cam Fowler or something like that, right? I think Cam Fowler just has that that one. No, I'm sorry. You know, he actually has. Oh, my bad. I don't know. I think I lost my train of thought right now. Sorry, I told you guys I was like, I'm sick, so I'm not feeling that well. So my train of thought went out. But yeah, I think Cam Fowler needs to step up. He's been he's a leader on this team. He's been on the team for a while. He just it doesn't seem like his play, just like a lot of the defensive play, has really been going. And yeah, he's 13 games. He has one assist, and I believe Gibson has 2 assists this season. So when your goaltender has more assists, more points than you do, something has to kind of give and step up. Like, I think everyone on this team has to step up and do something as well. It's just you can't just traject this level. You guys had so much improvement last season. All the stats were great. It just this season is fluctuating. Yeah, the power play, it's going just to hell again. Like, something has to give. Someone has to just kind of really elevate themselves as this team leader. And like I said before, I don't care if it's Ryan Strome that just came on this team. I don't care if it's Mason McTavish. Obviously, we've seen these young kids now in this new age of hockey that they're stepping up and they're being leaders. They're not just brought into the league and just pretty much shut up and do what you want or do what you're told and don't say anything. It's just someone has to step up and call out this team. We saw what happened with New Jersey. Miles Wood called out his team, said he was tired of being on a losing team. He got a lot of shit for it, but he stepped up. His team stepped up, and they're one of the top in the league. They're on fire right now over there in New Jersey, and we all know the shit show they were in. Some other stats, too, I wanted to throw out, Mike. Vetrano leads the team with shot 42, Terry 41, and then Zegras with 29. Those are some fun stats right there. And then Benoit, what is his games that he played, he leads the Ducks still and hits with 29, with Comtois second with 20, and Max Jones third, or tied with second with with 20, then Vetrano hitting that third with Kulikov with 19 hits. I think the Ducks need to take away time and space, a lot of time and space from these teams. Make them work for those goals. Make them pay. You shouldn't be having your goalie face 45, 46, 52 shots. Like, come on. Like, it's just not the way you're supposed to win hockey games. You can't do that to your goalie. Defense definitely has to step the hell up and start blocking these more shots. Start putting more pressure on these forwards. Start making them shoot without having a lane. Maybe shoot wider or just not just put the pepper our goalies with pucks. It's not going to win hockey games at all. It's just going to get your goalies hurt. And you know what? It's going to frustrate them too. It's just throwing it out there. Having to have that workload each and every night, getting the 45-plus shots, it's going to get old. Like, okay, what's the point? I'm just going to let these go in. I mean, not saying they had that mentality, but it's going to get frustrating each and every night having those 45-plus shots.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely part of it too, like you talked about. I mean, they've got a... They got to figure that out. You've had Gibson start, 10 of these games, and you've had Stolarz only start 3. I mean, it's got to be balanced out a little bit more, in my opinion. I just don't, like you said, you're going to wear them out. And we talked about this last season. It was the same thing, trying to get them, more even time and facing all these shots. So those are some of the issues that are plaguing this team. I think, Carrick's down on San Diego on a loan. Hopefully he comes back soon. I think he may help on the penalty kill and defense on 5-on-5. I think that's going to be a big boost. Still waiting on Vaakanainen. We haven't heard much on him. But they've also talked about, improving the offense and attacking more, trying to get in the zone more, which, like I said, they've come up in those puck possession numbers. They're in the 40s now. They were in the 30s, which was pretty poor. But I think looking at the lineup, they got to do some adjustments. Like, you want to keep Zegras and Terry together. Comtois, come on. I'd put them together on the line. Let them start and keep doing their thing. And then your second line, you have Henrik, and then Vetrano, and then either Strome or McTavish on that second line, and let them do their thing. And I'm good with McTavish not being a top six. If you're not going to do that, if you're going to put him, on the bottom six, that's fine. But keep him at the center position. Eddie talked about that earlier too, as well, and figure that out. So that's my thing. I think number one, keep Zegras and Terry together, put them on a line. Keep McTavish at center. If you can put him in the top six, great. Maybe there's some discussion there between Strome and McTavish. If you look at the shot charts, it looks like McTavish is more of a guy that's in the center and in the slot, where Strome was one that will be there but also go to the outside too. So maybe you try to figure out, between them, who's going to be the second and third line center, and then go from there. And then, get Stolarz in there and get some more breaks for Gibson, because we've got to try to get more offense and do that. We're leaning. The ice is tilted a lot of these games in the Ducks' defensive zone, and you're wearing on the goalies. And, if that's going to continue, then, you need to break up the goalies. You can't have Gibson starting 70, 80% of these games. Maybe you make it 60-40 with Stolarz. Maybe you don't go down to 50-50, but I think you got to make more of a balance there. As well, Eddie, because like you said, if they keep leaning on the goalies, you're going to break them down. And we saw that with Gibson before. I mean, he's not played great to start the season. Let's be honest, he's not. But the defense hasn't either. There's just a lot of issues with this team, and far as both of those go. But if they can put together a top six, lineup that can sustain pressure and attack, then I think we'll be in a good position moving forward.
Oh, yeah. That first line you talked about, ZT and Comtois, I like that, because you have Zegras that obviously he makes those beautiful passes that you don't think he's going to pass, but then boom, the puck's on your stick. Terry obviously is a pure goal scorer, what we've seen so far. Comtois has that potential, and he could be that goal scorer too. We've seen him pop a lot of goals a couple seasons ago. He just had kind of a downfall last season, but he's hopefully getting up this season. But he brings that bite and that bark over here. So you're on that top line watching Terry and Zegras go at it. If someone comes after them, he's going to be the first one to go over there and get in your face and drop the glove. So that's, I love seeing that line. I even want to throw out this, since Vetrano leads the Ducks with shots, he loves to shoot, and Zegras loves to pass, why not give him another shooter on his line? If things are really going bad offensively, just try that line out for a shift or two. But I think the most important thing is just having a consistent line and letting these guys build chemistry with each other. Just constantly shuffling, throwing out 15 defensemen out there. It's just like, what next? You're going to throw out three goalies? I mean, what three goalies can take a lot of that work and absorb most of those shots? But come on, it seems like some coaching issues are going on with this team too. And sometimes it seems that they're not responding to the coach they have. And I just can't see them being okay with this constant lineup, and just it's hard to gain chemistry when you're just playing with someone different, or you have a few bad shifts and all of a sudden the lines are all shuffled and boom, now you're playing with seven defensemen and it just throws everything off. And it's just, something has to just be consistent. I do like the lines. One thing I do want to discuss too, I know he's a fan favorite with everyone, but Silverberg, playing on the fourth line. I think a change of scenery with him would kind of benefit him to get him that spark, because we've seen how consistent he could be scoring goals. It's just been since the injury and everything, and this season, just moving him down to the fourth line doesn't really seem feasible when we can have someone else kind of take that spot. We could bring up someone from San Diego. We can go out and get kind of a meat and potatoes grinder kind of player, and I think we can get some kind of value and asset for him, because teams could kind of capitalize on Hutton's potential to take a kind of a risk on him and stuff like that, to see if he can kind of reignite his scoring touch. But seeing him on the fourth line doesn't really gel, especially he was at, you know, that top six four before. And then Lundestrom is kind of interesting too, because you see some flashes of greatness from him some games, but then some games you see that kind of him still developing. So it's really going to be fun to see if he ever gets an opportunity to kind of crack up some more minutes and see what he can do. But I do like his play. I think he doesn't really have a bad game. It's just some games are better than others, but he's been kind of consistent on the way his play has been this season. So it's good to see that.
Yeah, you bring up a good point about Silverberg, you know, bumping him down to a bottom six role. What is the team going to do? Which kind of leads in our next segment, some more trade talk that we'll jump into real quick. Make sure to check out buckedup.com for all your pre-workout needs. Eddie uses it, is a big fan. If you use the code DucksandPucks93, you get a discount. So check out buckedup.com if you're looking for some good pre-workout stuff. So
yeah. Oh, one more thing about them. Go in and check out their website. They have some promotion going to sign up. They have like a pre-Black Friday special that's going to last. I think it hits the 20th or until the 20th, where they'll, for a whole week or a few days, they'll have every single entire item in their stock 50% off. It goes by quick, and it's going to sell out fast, but if you're looking for some stuff, you want to try it, why not try it at 50% off? They also have little packets that you can that they'll send you. It's like $20. They'll send you a shaker. They'll send you like samples of all their packets, and you can see if they like them or not. But yeah, you can't go wrong with 50% off, especially if you use the product already or if you're thinking about it. Some BCAAs, some thermogenic fat burners, pre-workouts, they really do help. So go ahead and check them out and definitely use their code. And if you have any questions, you guys can feel free to send me a DM, and I'll talk about the products I use. But I like them. I stand by them. And they helped me lose 50 pounds, so I can't go wrong with that. And I definitely need to hit the gym more, because I'm only going a few days a week now. I was hitting it 5 or 6 days a week, but I need to jump on that, and I'll start using their products a lot more.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a pretty big a discount and a deal that they're offering. So check them out, buckedup.com and DucksandPucks93 for a discount. All right, so let's talk about this trade stuff, because this is coming again. You talked about Silverberg, you know, which is one name to look at. Another one that we talked about before was Gibson, but now another name that came up was Stolarz. So my long lost cousin, Justin Walters, wrote an article on Leafs Nation, and if you're following the Leafs, they've got a lot of problems. Annette, Murray, and Samsonov are hurt. They're looking for a goalie. So he mentioned Stolarz as an option. Then, I forgot who put this out, but there was a report that the Ducks' assistant general manager, Rob DiMaio, was at the Leafs-Bruins game this last week. So here you go, right? And we, of course, we've heard of the Ducks and the Leafs and trades and all this stuff before and whatnot, but I just thought it was interesting because, you know, just kind of putting a few things together here, and, you know, I haven't heard anything, but what do you think, Eddie? I mean, we've talked about, you know, Gibson, the rumors the last couple of years in Pittsburgh, and, you know, we know the Ducks and the Leafs have had stuff going on the last couple of years, and now this has kind of surfaced. So what do you think if the Ducks do keep Gibson and then try to trade Stolarz?
I mean, why not? If you have a team like Toronto that's dealing with a lot of goaltending issues right now, with Samsonov out with the knee injury, and then Matt Murray still recovering, but we've seen his play when he was at Pittsburgh, got traded to Ottawa. We see the digression of his play, and so it's still an unknown factor if he could elevate himself and be that number one goalie or even be a solid backup. The Leafs are down to Kilgren, their number three goalie, and they signed Petruzzi, I don't know. I butchered his name, my bad. But they just re-signed him. He was signed him to an NHL contract. He just had an AHL contract. The kid is 6-0 with the Toronto's AHL team with a 9.22 save percentage. So who knows if he can come up and steal the number one job, or if he's the real deal, or he's just having some lucky games in the AHL. But obviously playing in the AHL is totally different. I say why not trade Stolarz? You barely use him anyways. You're like heavily relying on Gibson. Trade him, kind of just take advantage of a team that is desperately need goalies, that desperately needs a spark, and see what happens. Stolarz has a lot of potential. We've seen him in games. We've seen that 48 save performance that he did the other night. And the Ducks, if they're not going to lean on him a little bit more, then why not trade him? I know Thomas, one of our writers, was talking about he wants to see Doss come up and hopefully have that backup role. I mean, I would want to see him come up and have a game that NHL experience, but then I don't, because the Ducks aren't going to really use him. He's just going to be sitting most of the time. Him playing what, 3-4 games a month isn't really feasible to me when he can just be in the AHL and be consistently playing games over there and develop that way. But yeah, I say why not trade Stolarz? You don't use him that much. You can get some assets for him, and then we can go out and find a temporary backup goalie and go from there. I say why not?
Yeah, and I mean, we actually did on the last show talk a little bit about Toronto too. And the fact of their defensemen, I mean, they're kind of hurting because they've had Muzzin out. But, you know, we did mention briefly TJ Brody on the team. You have Justin Hall. That's another one that talking about. I mean, they do have some guys on there that if you want to try and make some kind of deal and do some stuff, maybe you try to pick up a defenseman out of there if they really want the goalie that bad. I don't know. And you try and bring in a guy that can help out the team on the Ducks defensively. I mean, it's there. Do I think it happens? Probably not, but I mean, it's something to consider. We had Jake Avila 08. He talks about more trades, about Shattenkirk, Klingberg. He talks about the coaching staff, Gibson. We talked about Gibson before. We have Diaz L82 talks about Akins. Is his job in jeopardy? Looking at all the stuff and the trades and whatnot, I still don't see anything happening with the coaching staff. Unless something crazy happens, they go on a 10-plus game losing streak, I don't see anything with Akins happening. Now, Klingberg, we talked about that. I'm on board trading him already. I'm just not a big fan of what I've seen so far, unfortunately. I was really big on him going into the season, but he hasn't helped out on the power play as much. And honestly, his neutral zone play has been very suspect and questionable. So I am not big on that. Shattenkirk, I feel, has just been up and down. I feel he's very inconsistent. So, but am I open to trading him? Yeah, I'm open to trading Shattenkirk and Klingberg too. And then I think the big thing, going back to kind of what we talked about already, is the goalie situation. What's the plan for this team? I mean, is Stolarz going to be the guy down the road? Is Gibson going to be the guy down the road? You mentioned Dostal. Are you going to bring him up? Is he going to be in the mix? I think they need to figure out that goalie situation. But if they're going to ride out Gibson through his contract and you have Stolarz in the mix, you have a team like Toronto that needs help, and you want to try and pick up someone maybe to help out on the defense, there's something to be said there. If you want to trade a Klingberg or Shattenkirk and go get another defensive player, and we've talked about some of those in the last show. If you go back and listen, I'm not going to rehash all that. But maybe there's something there. But I don't see anything with the coaching staff. And it seems like right now it's, Verbeek's just kind of riding things out, Eddie, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he's doing. He's filling the team out. He's going to build a team that he wants. So maybe this is his way. It's like, okay, the Ducks, let's see what areas that we need to improve on dramatically. Let's see if it's going to be a coaching change. Let's see what other coaches are out there, who's going to get fired. It's just kind of a waiting game for him. He came in just kind of a rebuilding project, so he understands that. He's not like our old GM. I even forgot his name right now. I don't even care. He got Murray. Yeah, Bob Murray. That, like, especially election night, let's talk about Bob Murray. He just always promised you the whole world and was one of those next GMs that's going to probably run for president one day, because all he did was talk a big game. But every season, it's just the same thing. Nothing happened on trade deadline. He's just sipping back on his whiskey, passing out, forgetting about the deadline. So, yeah, it's going to wait and see. As for, like, that good question, but Shattenkirk and Klingberg right now, I don't think their ceiling's really high. I don't think we can get much for any of them, especially the contract that Shattenkirk has. Klingberg, I really hope he starts heating up and fires up. And I don't want him to go just yet because I want his ceiling to get a little higher. So hopefully by trade deadline, he kind of fits in with the team. He gets around to the systems. Drysdale's obviously out, so the heavily minutes are going to lean on him too, as well as everybody else. But hopefully he just kind of finds his groove with the Ducks, and I really hope he's the Ducks' number one goal scorer, points getter, anything come trade deadline, so we can get max return for him.
Yeah, you bring up a good point, Eddie. We've talked about trades and the Ducks trying to do stuff now, and this is why I think Verbeek won't do anything right away. Unless it's on the goalie front, maybe. But you're right with the defensive players, the value and the ceiling of some of the guys right now, it doesn't make sense. Like you said, what kind of return are you really going to get for these guys right now? If they heat up and start playing better December, January, as we get closer to the trade deadline, then that's maybe the time you make that kind of move. So I'm with you. I think that you hit on a key point there. Don't want to pull the trigger too early. Plus, we know it's a rebuild season. We're not going to be Stanley Cup contenders anyways. That's not the issue. And that goes to Tom's question, TOMO_WB. He says, should the Ducks keep pushing for points or try to get the number one overall pick? I mean, for me, it's kind of a little bit of both. I think the Ducks should keep pushing to get points, but in the sense of we need them to play better, and we've already talked about this throughout the show, is getting that set lineup, not changing the lines all the time, keeping Terry and Zegras together, getting McTavish at the center, getting him on the power play more involved, getting Stolarz more starts, things like that. I think they should push for the process, and they're a work in progress. We want to get them playing all aspects of the game better to translate into more points, which obviously they've gotten more points recently. It's taken extra hockey, not regulation, but that's what I'm looking for this team. And yes, do I want a high overall pick? Of course I do. I think we know it this season. We know it's a rebuild. The team's told us that. It's not a secret. I mean, we've known that before, but the message is out there. It's not hidden. There's no, games being played about what's going on with this team this season. So for me, yes, I want them to get a high draft pick, but I want them to try and improve in these different aspects of the game, Eddie.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. I don't think they should intentionally just drop games on purpose just to get that number one overall, like play with some pride, play some competitive hockey. But yeah, I keep saying it, I want them to improve. I hope they can figure out the power play and have a better power play than they had last season. Last season they had a great power play. Well, it wasn't great, but it was better than the season before. But I want to see the aspects improve. I really want to see something change with the defensive core, or their style that they play, because I don't like these 40 something shots per game. It's just a consistent problem. It's been I can't even recall the last time the Ducks didn't have a problem with getting this many shots on goal. So I do want to see something with that. But yeah, if we can just improve in all the stats that we have, team stats as well as personal stats, and I want these players to just properly develop and find their game and kind of grow to their true potential that they have. And like I said, Klingberg to rise up and be an all-star for us, and then we can just flip them at the deadline and hopefully get a couple draft picks or something for him, a couple first round draft picks for him, or something someone that's going to come into our team and help us and kind of just get us over that edge and help us go moving forward. But I think this year's trade deadline, I mean, look at last year's, look at before too. Verbeek's he hasn't played around. He's ready to do business. He's not going to stop until this team improves. So I really can't wait to see the team that he builds. And I just really want to see something happen as far as coaching staff too. I don't think the coaching staff is going to go. But then again, I mean, I kind of want it to go. If the Ducks aren't going to respond, or come January, we're not improving on the power play. It's just getting worse, and the stats aren't going up. Our players aren't getting those points that they need to be. Maybe a change has to happen. Bring in some fresh blood, bring in someone new, and kind of change the whole style of play and see if the team can connect and gel with that style, because obviously it hasn't been working this season. If the Ducks are still the fourth to last in the division or in the whole entire league right now, so obviously we have to wait and see. It's still rebuilding, so I'm still patient, but hopefully we get a few wins. But those improvements are more important than the 2 points right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just kind of end this segment. One other question, that's kind of interesting one. We had JDT_46 asks, who is the most under the radar Ducks player so far this season? Which, you know, I didn't really have an answer for this. I mean, it's a great question. I wasn't really sure who, but I'll throw this one out there. What about Beaulieu? Is he like the next D'Lo? I mean, he's in fights in three of the last four games. He's an energy guy. Yes, he's on defense. You know, he's not the best positionally on the defense, but is that a guy that's kind of under the radar for you, or is there somebody else, Eddie, that you think you know, might surprise and surface up later in the season?
I think Kulikov. I think people, when we got him, weren't expecting anything from him at all. Obviously, he's not one of these players that's going to just wow you on the score sheet. He's not going to be scoring all these goals or running the power play, but I think he's been, I guess, pretty better than everyone expected when we first got him. He leads in blocks. He has a few hits going on over there, too. He has over 800 games of experience. He's been with teams that have been on a playoff atmosphere. He's been on teams that have been at the bottom of the barrel with Buffalo. So I think he was kind of a surprise for me. I didn't think he was going to do anything special at all, which, I mean, he's not really that special, but he's playing just a little better than everyone expected. So I think he's kind of the under-the-radar person for me, especially, you know, willing to block those shots and get there, especially at the age he is. He's been playing since he was 19. He's 32 now, so I'm pretty sure his body's banged up, but he's willing to go out there and play to the best of his ability. So I want to say that Kulikov was probably my biggest surprise. And I think for me, is my duck under the radar.
All right. So with that, we'll move on again. We got some more jersey talk. Real quick, if you're looking for a multivitamin, check out zstacklife.com. If you go on there and you enter my name, M-I-K-E, Mike, you get a discount. So good multivitamin with vitamin C, D, and zinc on there, and there's a couple variations of it on there. So zstacklife.com, check it out. Okay, so let's talk real quick about the jersey stuff a little bit more. It looks like those jerseys we talked about in the last show, I guess they're not going to be out for the 30th season, Eddie. It looks like they're just, Adidas is just doing a money grab. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. You have that series that's going on right now that people are watching. Adidas is last year, unless they can work out something with the National Hockey League on being the jersey sponsors. Yeah, I think it's a money grab. You have the series going on, the nostalgic stuff of the old school Ducks and the Hawks, that rivalry. It's going to be a money grab. They did something similar, too, with the Quebec jerseys. They made kind of a Adidas dark version one. That thing sold out instantly, quick. I try to get my hands on one. I can't. So I'm just scouring eBay. It's just hard because I see a lot of fakes. But I do want the Adidas version of the old school Quebec jerseys, the dark blue. It just looked really nice. But I think that's what they're going to be doing, is just doing a money grab. Like I said, that series is going on. And if you guys haven't seen it yet, the Ducks announced that there's going to be three Anaheim Ducks players, Troy Terry, Zegras, and Jones, going to be on the next episode, kind of scrimmaging and being mentors and part of the TV show. So I'm sure a lot of Ducks fans are fans that grew up watching the old school Mighty Ducks movies are going to just kind of like jump to the hype and maybe go there and buy those jerseys and stuff like that. It's cool to see, too. I don't know if we talked about this, I didn't mention this, but EA Sports has those jerseys in their game, too. So it's going to be cool if you can play, you know, with those Ducks jerseys and those Hawks jerseys. It's going to be really fun to see. As far as is that TV show, though, it's hard to watch. It's so boring, and the acting's terrible. Lauren Graham, she just doesn't do it for me. I think it died after Bombay and all the original Ducks. But I'm going to watch the next episode, which streams this week, just to see Zegras, Terry, and Jones. So that's going to be fun to see. And it's good to see the Anaheim Ducks players getting on the map like that, being in the TV show, and getting hyped up. And we can, I guess, thank Zegras for that, because he put the Ducks really on the map last season.
Yeah, absolutely. He definitely put the Ducks on the map, especially being on the cover of the NHL game as well. And now he's, you know, going to be in this series, like you said, with the other guys. So I would definitely check it out. But yeah, I'm kind of curious now, what are the Ducks going to do for next season? Because the 30th season, if they're not bringing back these Mighty Ducks D5 jerseys, I'm really curious to see what they're going to do. A lot of speculation that the Ducks may take the reverse retro jersey, make that the away jersey. then make an all black one, maybe the home jersey, or an all orange one, maybe the home jersey. So I'm curious to see what they're going to do. Something's got to give next season with the jerseys. I mean, they can't not do something for the 30th anniversary. So we'll have to see what happens. But they did debut the reverse retro jerseys against Florida. And if you remember, Florida also entered the league in the 93-94 season, just like the Ducks did. So I thought that was kind of a nice touch there that they debuted them against, partner entering the league, I guess you could say. But a lot of comments about the pants. And this is what Eddie was talking about earlier in the show. We did two polls on the pants. And on Facebook, a majority of you like the black pants. It was almost 75% like them. About 22% said orange. And then a couple of you said, forget it, I don't like the uniforms. So then I'm like, well, you know what? Let's just do a poll on Twitter too. Election time. See what's going on there. And on Twitter, it's almost dead even. It's 52% like orange and 48% black. Pretty crazy. I'm looking at it. But it was our boy that does the Wild Wing account. No, not the official one, but the unofficial one, that he put together the two photos on Twitter side by side. And I mentioned this. I posted several times. People commented, I don't hate the orange. I don't dislike it. I think it's great. But for me, I kind of like the black a little bit better. And it kind of goes with the original. Someone else posted the photo where they had the white and green, right? And then the purple pants with the matching stripe. So if they did the black pants with an orange stripe, like I said, I don't hate it, Eddie, but I just feel like the black pants look just a little bit cleaner. It's just my opinion.
Yeah, I 110% agree with you. And yeah, I'm really curious to see what's going to happen next season for the Ducks. I don't know. Maybe they just might give in to fans and be like, all right, well, for our 30th anniversary jersey, here's our inaugural away jersey, the dark one. Because like back in the day, it was all dark when you were away. So hopefully we'll just do that. Whatever jersey, just update it and everyone will be happy. No one's going to, I'm sure you'll have that small sample size of people complaining still about it. I don't know what they want, but that's all they have to do. They don't have to put their minds into it. Just go ahead and update that jersey and that'd be perfect and everyone would be happy. Keep the reverse retro jersey, or you know what? Just make a black reverse retro jersey next season and boom, you gotta have it covered. You have your home, you have your way, you have your alternate, you have the new black reverse retro, and then you have your 30th. Just eggplant color jersey and everyone's happy. You'll make a lot of money. You're welcome. You can give me a percentage of that or hook me up with some free beers, because that's probably, the beers will be worth more than the percentage you'll give me.
Oh man. Let's talk about those beers, man. Good Lord. I'm going to a bunch of the games this next week. I was not at the Florida game, so just so you know, Eddie and my record are still intact. The Ducks are still undefeated when we're at the game. So, but we are going to the next three games. Eddie will be going to me with some of them, and I have some other friends with me. So I will be at the next three. So, the Ducks are going to go on a three-game winning streak. That's it, period, right?
Yep.
But yeah, I'm really curious to see what they're going to do with the jerseys next season. So something's got to happen. So we'll have to wait and see for that. As we wind down the show, we'll get to the league news. A few things come up. We really haven't talked about the rest of the league lately. But a couple things came up. We have the Bruins in the news. We have the Senators in the news. Colorado as well. Eddie, I'll let you start with whichever team you want to talk about.
Well, we'll start off with the kind of controversial news and stuff like that. I don't know if you want to just go ahead and start with that, Mike.
Yeah, I don't know. This whole thing in Boston is a hot mess. Unfortunately, you've got Mitchell Miller that the team signed, but then they're not gonna play him. It's just, there's a lot to this going on. It appears that he did some bullying back in the day when he was a teenager, and now the team's trying to figure out what they're gonna do. It looks like they could buy him out. They might just pay him and he doesn't play. They also said that Miller could file a grievance too as well, because, if they're looking at actions that happened before he was even in the league and he was like in junior high or high school. I don't know. I don't know how this is going to end up. I know Mitchell Miller is not going to play for the Bruins. I can tell you that much. But, man, the Bruins got destroyed over this. I think a lot of it was because that they said that they didn't, you know, they said they didn't know what was, you know, the stuff that happened, but they did know, which, I mean, I don't even know. I mean, I'm just glad this isn't the Ducks problem, Eddie.
Oh, yeah. It's just a big shit show over there in Boston and everything going on. And I'll just leave it at that. It was just, we talked about it because it was the trending topic that came in the whole hockey world and blew it up right there. So there's two options for him, I guess. They can pay him to stay home and play. They can just pay him to stay home and not play. Or I guess they can kind of the National Hockey League Players Association can kind of negotiate a settlement. He can file that grievance, or they can just come next season and buy him out. But yeah, it's just one of those things where he made a mistake when he was a kid, a terrible, terrible mistake. And I'm not sure if he's sorry. I didn't really dig into it. I heard a lot of rumors that were out there. I looked up a few things that were verified. I know he had his court stuff that he finished and he apologized. I don't know. It's just, like you said, I'm glad the Ducks don't have to deal with this problem. They have 99 problems, but off-ice stuff aren't one. So I'm glad we don't have to worry about that.
Oh, man, you almost wanted me to drop the B word in there when you said that. I was like, 99 problems and a... Okay. Almost.
I think I cussed twice in the show, Ray, so I had to like... I think my limit's like 2 or 3 cuss words per show, so that's why I just kind of like stopped it there.
Yeah, you got to tone it down. Tone it down. The other thing we had is the Senators. Kind of, you know, they were in the news that Ryan Reynolds was on late night talking about possibly buying the team and trying to get a group of people together. And then they're also going to retire Chris Neal's number as well. So what do you think about the Senators? They said that they, you know, are trying to sell the team. And now here you have Mr. Reynolds coming into the mix. So what do you think about the Senators situation? A lot going on with that team too.
Well, congrats to them. They've been playing well this season. I know they lost one of their players, Norris. He's played well. He's lost him for a few, but I'm surprised that they've been playing well. And I'm glad, you know, I guess the Senators are probably my favorite Canadian team. I remember growing up, I used to like love their logo. So when I had like the hockey game, I'd play with the Ducks, but then I'd play with the Senators too. Or I would just like, I like to like when I play back, like not just to use my team, but just jump on different teams and play with them. But Senators would always be the team I would play for when I wanted to change that team. So it's good to see Neal's number getting retired too. He's always been that kind of meat and potatoes kind of guy. So it's good to see all his sacrifice and hard work going to get rewarded. So congratulations to him. Now getting to the fun part, Ryan Reynolds. Oh, if you've seen the interview, it was so funny. He's talking about how he needs to find a sugar mama or a sugar daddy to be able to help afford for this team. He was they're mentioning about on the Jimmy Fallon show about how Canadians in hockey and stuff like that. And he actually grew up in Vancouver. He actually cheers for Vancouver, but grew up in Ottawa, so that's a special place in his heart. But he was talking about how Canadians are born out of their mom's womb wearing ice skates already, ready to go, and they're NHL ready by 4 years old. He was just, man, you know, Ryan Reynolds is really probably one of my favorite actors. Probably top five favorite actors. You never hear any controversy. You never hear any drama with him. He's always just funny. If people tweet to him, he'll respond back. He'll just, man, he's just... He seems like a really good guy. Him and his wife, Blake, they just never have any issues going on. They just announced that they're going to have their fourth child, so congratulations to them. But yeah, that'd be cool to see someone like that join the Senators League and him being part owner, see what changes he make. And I don't know, it'd be cool to see, to have that happen. I know before it was Little John wanted to be a part owner, or own the Atlanta Thrashers back in the day. That was going to be funny too, but now he's over there hyping up Las Vegas all the time. But yeah, it was a fun interview to see. I suggest you guys go watch it. I'll try to find it and retweet it on Ducks and Pucks so you know what I'm talking about. It's worth the watch.
Yeah, it was pretty funny in the way he was talking about, you know, like, I forgot, you know, you mentioned the sugar mama or sugar daddy thing. I was like laughing. I was like, oh my God, and I'm with you. I like Ryan Reynolds too, so... Hey, if he ends up buying the Ottawa Senators and whatnot with a group of people, then I'm all for it as well. So, something else that, you know, another team to keep an eye on. And then, real quick, Colorado, Eddie, you want to talk about them, and then we'll wind up with the Gulls here and at the end.
Yeah, unfortunately, some bad news before we end the show. Peter McNabb passed away. He lost his battle to cancer, unfortunately. He played in 14 seasons in the NHL with the Sabres, Bruins, Canucks, and Devils. Then he served as a color commentator for the Avs in their inaugural season until he passed away. I met him a couple times in Colorado. Such a sweet and great guy. For Ducks fans that don't know him, think of Dan Wood and how amazing and great he is. Loves his job, loves coming to the rink, always engaging fans and loves to talk to fans. That's Peter McNabb to the Avalanche and the sport of hockey. So many good things people said about him and great experiences and run-ins with him. It's a loss for the hockey world, but he's up there being a commentator, watching hockey up in the heavens with all the greats that we lost before. So it's unfortunate, but it's life. But we wish him all the best up there. His family, sorry for his family and his friends and the Colorado organization and all their fans. But it's just they lost a good one. But fortunately, he's in a better place and he doesn't have to kind of just suffer through that battle anymore.
Yeah, fuck cancer.
Exactly. There we go. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, man.
Takes too many people too soon.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just so annoying. We've talked about that before a lot. I don't know if I did talk about this on the show before, but lost a lot of people in the last couple years. And sadly, the majority of them have been to cancer. People that I personally know. That's sad for him as well. And hearts go out to his family and friends and the organization. So. With that though, we'll finish up with the goals. I mean, not really much happier news. They're not playing well, but we'll talk about San Diego a little bit here as we close out this show. They've kind of been struggling. They've only won 3 out of 10 games so far this season. We've got Thomas that's doing a great job. He's still doing his bi-weekly articles covering the team. And like we said, Carrick is down there on the loan, hopefully going to come back up soon. We had Glenn Godden. He came up, didn't score in that one game with the Ducks, but he had 7 points in 7 games with San Diego, so he's been doing all right there. But, keep your eye on the goals. I mean, it's early, and I mean, the Ducks are struggling. They're trying to bounce players up in there, back and forth. But, they're just having a rough go of it, unfortunately, Eddie.
Yeah, that Bulliard kid, not kid, he's like 27, but he kind of surprised me. He leads, defenseman leads the team in points right now, 3 goals and 7 assists. Last season, he had 131 penalty minutes. I spoke to Thomas a little bit about him because I didn't know anything about him. I was just like the research things, and I'm just checking on the goals. I know a few of you like the fact that we added some goals talk before, so we'll go ahead and cover those weekly. We'll see if Thomas wants to just write a little insert for us so we can know what we're talking about a little bit more, because it's kind of hard to watch the goals game with our busy schedule and try to cover all the Ducks games. But yeah, Thomas and I both agree this guy would probably be worth taking a chance on. He's having a great season right now with the goals, points wise so far. 10 points in the 10 games he's played. He can probably just kind of help out on the blue line. If not, then why not take a chance? It's not going to hurt anyone. It's one of the definitely a low risk, maybe a potential medium reward kind of signing. But good job to him. I'm glad that he's having a good season. I hope he just keeps trajectory upward. I hope he keeps going upward. Sorry, the NyQuil's kicking in now. So yeah, that's good to see. I'll be keeping an eye on the stats too, and talking to Thomas when I don't know about a lot of these players, and he'll just give me the info. But yeah, hopefully we can get Thomas to throw little inserts for our show, and we can include that as part of our normal routinely talk.
Yeah, and you got Grimaldi in there with 9 points in 9 games, and O'Regan with 9 points as well in 9 games. So you got a couple of the guys that are doing well there. To keep an eye on and see. Like we said, unless something crazy happens with the goalie situation, I don't really see the Ducks doing any kind of trades anytime soon. Verbeek may prove me wrong, but there's some players down there definitely to keep an eye on and see what happens in the next couple of weeks and see if the Ducks will bring them back up. But, go ahead, Eddie.
Well, some more bad news too, Mike. Unfortunately, someone won that $2 billion tonight. So you can't buy the hockey team. I was hoping when I heard that announcement it was going to be Mike Walters and you can go and try to buy the Anaheim Ducks and lower the beer prices and stuff like that. But yeah, guys, fans, sorry. I know we talked about winning the $1 billion last show and Mike potentially buying the team. Well, someone won it today in Altadena, and it wasn't Mike or myself, so we're not going to be trying to buy the Ducks team anytime soon, unless it goes up to $1 billion again, hopefully.
Yeah, I did get the Powerball, so I looked that up, and that's like $4. So maybe that'll go towards the tip of the $18 beer. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I got the Powerball, so woo!
Well, with those new machines now, you don't even have to tip because you should tip yourself. Like, give yourself the $4. I don't know.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. Yeah. So, somebody won this $2 million jackpot. Excuse me, $2 billion jackpot. Holy crap. That's insane. But, I'll just wrap up the show here real quick. Another thing, too, we're doing watch parties at Noble Ale Works. If you go there and say Ducks and Pucks during the Ducks games, you will get a discount on your drink purchase. My buddy Josh is over there. He just gave me that promotion code actually while we were doing the show right now. He just told me. So there's a new code for you there. We'll have watch parties too as well, and they have other discounts. We're doing tons of giveaways too. Just gave away a Derek Grant puck on Instagram. And Eddie had gotten that with the orange puck. And yes, we have the jersey too. Some of you asked. We are giving that away as well. So we're just doing it separate, trying to give more fans more stuff. So we'll be doing that. We had a new person, Jeremiah Ford. He joined our Patreon. So patreon.com/ducksandpucks. Join that. You get a free t-shirt. We also give away tickets to and other giveaways throughout the season. So if you want to go on there and be a contributor, you can just donate a buck. That's it. $1. patreon.com/ducksandpucks. And we did get to over 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. So thank you very much for that. It took a long time, but we did get there. So I appreciate it immensely. And Eddie and I, happy to see all the support that you guys give us. So we'll keep trying to do the show weekly. We'll do another one before Thanksgiving and see how the Ducks do. So hope you enjoyed the show and let's go Ducks.